Men only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call-in for today's guest, she's exceptional, and yes, you'll have call-in questions. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today is a Friday, but it's also a Wednesday. Joni Skillbred, incredible historian, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
And what are we talking about today?
Well, today's Polaris Building Day.
Yes, it is. We're having a little, Fairbanks, we're having a little function at 3 o'clock at the Polaris Building saying goodbye. Have a little ceremony. We're starting to take down the tower, the 11-story building there.
It's kind of like a memorial service.
Awake?
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, goodness.
Are we going to have alcohol?
We're going to smash something against the wall.
Yes. It's kind of, it's a bittersweet day, I think, you know.
Excuse me. It's a long time coming. You know, you may be looking at bittersweet. I'm just saying, thank God it's here.
It is a piece of our history, you know. And some people have fond memories of it, and some people don't. I found it really interesting when I talked about it a couple of times, you know. When I asked people, did anybody remember what it looked like inside? And no. Nothing remarkable. Nobody had anything special to say. They all loved the memory of the building, mostly because of the Tiki Cove, which is just the last little bit of its history.
Yeah, but I like the Black Angus. You had the you had the downstairs. You had a workout gym down there. Mm-hmm. You had businesses on the first floor as you walked in.
You did.
And, you know, my dad's accountant, John Becker, was on the first floor until he passed away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a business location.
Well, it was like a little city.
Yeah,
the first couple floors. Yeah. And then it was apartments. And then with the penthouse going to a club or a restaurant.
Yeah. So where are you going to start?
Well, I think we should start with the building of it.
Okay.
You know, at the time, Fairbanks, it was a post-war boom, and Fairbanks had a severe housing shortage because they were building Eielson Air Force Base. And we were deemed a very important strategic location for the Cold War. And so, you know, they were ramping everything up here after World War II, and there was a huge, huge influx of federal money pouring into the community because Fairbanks was still kind of a log cabin, kind of shack town, and they needed to have modern facilities in the city to be able to support the military effort that was going on on the bases. So, you know, we experienced this post-war boom, and they built the Northward Building, which was the tallest building in town, but because it was such a severe housing shortage, the Polaris Building was built.
What was the original name of it?
The Hill Building.
That's right.
It was built by Rudy Hill.
And family.
And family, yes. And they decided to get into this, and he went and got financial backing. It's interesting. 4% of the capital that he raised to build this building, he made a choice. You know, he had to get capital from a variety of places, mostly from Seattle investors. But 4% of the capital for the building came from an FHA loan.
4%.
4%.
That's it. Just 4%.
4%. But this is the critical thing in this whole story.
What it imposed upon
him. It was a fateful decision that he made. There were two types of FHA loans that he could have gotten for this building, and he got the residential loan. And there was also a different class of loan that he qualified for that he could have gotten that 4% that was for hotel, mm-hmm. motel kind of stuff. Well, you know, it's a federal loan, and federal loans come with lots of bureaucracy and lots of little rules and everything else.
Conditions.
Well.
Restrictions.
Yes, the residential loan had a lower interest rate than the commercial loan.
Of course. They always do.
They always do. And he went cheap, and he took the residential loan.
So that put on conditions that ultimately brought the demise of the building.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, 4% of his capital really hosed him in the end because that FHA residential requirement said that it could only be apartment, you know, residential housing. So you couldn't rent it, you know, for transients or tourism or anything like that. You couldn't rent it by the week. You had to have lease agreements. Also, the federal government was going to decide how much those apartments were going to rent for.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Rent control.
Oh.
Yeah. Until the building was paid for, they were going to dictate this. This is not a good business
slap
model.
Slap the handcuffs on you immediately.
Yes. Well, you know, it's this is what happens when you play with the feds, you know. You get a lot of rules. And you know, Fairbanks had a severe housing shortage, and so it was like, okay, well, we can get these rented out and everything else. And I'm sure that they were counting on the commercial leases to really carry the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so they built this. It was 100 feet high. And this building was very unique. It had the building was completely fireproof, and
steel and concrete.
Yes,
steel, you know, steel and poured concrete is all that thing was.
Yes, but
don't ask me how I know that.
It said that the exterior of the building will be finished in styrated concrete with large view windows for each apartment. Stairways will be finished in asphalt tile throughout. And it says here that when it was being built, now this was right before it was built, it was 12 stories, and no provision as yet has been made for any garage space, so there's no parking anywhere.
Yeah.
That, where the annex was, I guess you had a little bit of parking. But
or delivery.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, it's kind of a New York City kind of
model
that doesn't fit with Fairbanks really well. You
there
know.
Is no model that fits with Fairbanks.
Yeah, so they...
Fairbanks is its own model.
When they built it, it was the only building to be built at that time in the United States where they... It was the first time they built where they put these steel pipes down into the ground for the first 100 feet. And then they built around that, and then they did some more pipes, and they built around that. And work their way up. And it was this unique construction method that hadn't been done before. And they did it, and it was successful. And they went on to do it again when they built Bassett Army Hospital.
Okay.
Out at what was then LAD Air Force Base, which my brother was born there.
Fairbanks with that, talking about the birth of her brother that she never got over. Family went to hell in a handbasket after that, right, Joni?
Yeah.
We're going to take a commercial break because she needs a break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Big Daddy says forget Taco Tuesday. Come on down for ribs. Just $1.50 each every Tuesday at Big Daddy's. Oh, yes, ribs from Big Daddy's are legendary. And at $1.50 each, you can feed the whole family. Don't forget those sides, including collard greens, fried okra, red beans and rice, coleslaw, all genuine from the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Make sure you don't miss $1.50 Rib Tuesdays at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues in downtown Fairbanks.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Why are men so afraid of getting a vasectomy?
We now offer a minimally invasive technique for the vasectomies that really minimize the pain, in addition to offering conscious sedation right in the office that really takes the edge off. So vasectomy is no longer something that people have a lot of pain from, and you can go back to work the next day or the day after that.
Find out more about men's health with Dr. Tony Nima and Fairbanks Urology, now in their beautiful new location, along with Fairbanks Clinic at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
Trying to find a new hobby? Want to check out the latest fashion trends? Looking for some tasty treats? You need to be at the Carlson Center next weekend for a woman's affair sponsored by Borealis Med Spa. From shopping to health to chic furniture to great information, we have it all covered. Plus our Friday night sip and shop. More info at FairbanksEvents.com. That's FairbanksEvents.com. A woman's affair next weekend at the Carlson Center. Co-sponsored by the radio station and Robinson & Ward CPAs.
Back, neck, or sciatica pain got you down? At McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine, our team of doctors and PAs trained in spinal care will work with you to achieve your treatment goals. Doctors Malcolm and Wright have a combined 29 years of experience with non-operative treatment of all things spine, including sciatica. Should you need surgery, our fellowship-trained spine surgeon, Dr. Kim Driftmeyer, has got your back. If your spine needs a tweak or an overhaul, call the spine specialist at McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine. In-house MRI and physical therapy, no referral needed. Open until 8 p.m. every day but Sunday. McKinleyOrtho.com.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 39. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 20. Overcast skies. A dusting of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Joni Skillbred, talking about the Polaris building. Now, once you build something like that that has not really been done,
yes,
you're putting strain on the city resources.
Something big. Yes, and it is the city's responsibility to provide the
services.
Sewer, the water, the power, you know, those
fire
things.
Fire protection.
And actually, I think just a second ago, I came back to me what the issue was with the fire department. A 12-story building, the Fairbanks Fire Department could not protect. They could only do 11.
That's why it only went up 11 floors.
Yes. it caused all kinds of problems. And they had just built the MUS power plant.
I'm thinking of a movie, The Towering Inferno.
Yes. And the city had just built the MUS power plant. And the contractor who was supposed to supply the steam lines for the Hill building, today mm-hmm. we call it the Polaris building, well, the city still owed him a lot of money. Like in those days, you know, the early 50s, we're talking more than $115,000.
Wow.
And the contractor says, well, you know, if you want me to extend these steam lines, you're going to have to pay me.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have to go through, doesn't this sound familiar? We can't pay you until our legal department approves, you know, that we can pay you. And they had all these hoops because they didn't have the money. And they just held it up with bureaucracy until they had the money to pay him. Eventually, though, you know, they got it all worked out. But it caused the city some growing pains to be able to supply this. But it was super important that they did it because they needed the housing.
Yeah.
They were desperate for it. And so at that time, you had Fairview Manor being built. The Northward building was built. And the Polaris building was built. And all these models were for apartment-style living.
And in 1952, you had Island Homes coming online.
Yes.
And you had Arctic Park coming online.
Yeah, those are single-family.
Yeah. But housing,
yes.
And so getting construction supplies and labor,
mm-hmm.
boy.
Yes. Yes, and you're disrupting all of the, you know, to build an 11-story concrete building, you're going to disrupt all the businesses.
Around it.
They're all affected by this. And they know that in the long term it's going to be really good for their business, but they're going to take it. You know, they're going to have their business bottom lines affected during the construction of this. They had to close Lacey Street for part of the construction.
Mm-hmm.
And
part of the deconstruction.
And part of the deconstruction, yes.
Yeah.
So, it was looked forward to, but at the same time, it really had a ripple effect through the city, you know, because it affected everybody, and everybody had to kind of suck it up and make it happen, which they did. And it was pretty exciting. It took a fair amount of time to get it built. And then, of course, you have to furnish it. You have to, you know, while it was being built, they could work on the lease agreements mm-hmm. for the apartments and for the commercial space. I mean, you don't have to wait till it's finished to get those agreements.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, the Hill family was able to work on that. But, yeah, I mean, it was a major, major undertaking.
When they first finished it, what was in the first floor?
Well, I have a description here that's pretty neat. It says...
My dad had a bar.
mm-hmm, it did.
Polaris Lounge, yeah.
So here's the description that was in the News Miner for it. It said, the modern trend of combining rich pastel colors is quite evident in Fairbanks homes and places of business. The Polaris building is following this trend inside as well as in their colorful green exterior. So it was kind of like a light green color.
Mm-hmm.
The lobby is in the city's newest skyscraper, is now being decorated in a host of beautiful colors. A shade of rust red has been chosen for the ceilings and also appears on the two elevator doors in the main lobby as well as on every floor. Did you see that when you were in there? Rusty?
It was a little bit dark.
Walls in the lobby are done in a restful blue. Known as stratosphere blue.
I feel like I'm in Cuba.
Yeah.
Or Miami Beach.
Tiling in the lobby will be of a light gray with strips of royal blue. Three stars a few feet apart will be featured in the hallway in the main entrance on First Avenue. The stars will carry Alaska's colors, blue and gold. And colors in the business houses on the main floor will be left up to the shop owner's discretion. So two shades of cool green are found in the building's laundry room, which is located on the left side at the rear of the building of the main floor. Sparkling white washers and dryers, individual wash tubs. Manglers and ironers will furnish a pleasant place for the lady of the apartment to do her chores. I guess men didn't do laundry then.
Oh, God. Yeah, call in now, Fairbanks.
Apartment colors are pleasant but conservative, as the owners have tried to use shades that would blend nicely with almost any combination of colors used. The six pastel colors that appear on the apartment walls are light gray, stratosphere gray, and pastel shades of coral blue, green, and yellow. Kitchens in the units have that clean as a whistle look. Appliances and metal cabinets are white with only a dash of color appearing on the sink board. And the sink sides are of Formica, which is fireproof and extremely easy to keep clean. Colors used are red, yellow, green, blue, and gray on the Formica tops. The hallways, which will in a short time eliminate cooking odors, are also done in a shade of green, restful to the eyes. The Polaris and Northward buildings, along with the other new structures, are making the city of Fairbanks a modern and colorful place to live. So the 1950s were all about pastels, and the Polaris building reflected that.
Yeah.
So that's what it looked like on the inside.
Miami Beach, Cuba. Yeah.
Yeah, watch Happy Days.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And so the apartments were small that were put in there. There was 144 units total. And there were several efficiency apartments, and then there were one-bedroom apartments, and nothing bigger. They were small. And because this was a rent control kind of situation, they were, you know, kind of sparse.
Mm-hmm.
They were furnished, but they weren't elaborately furnished because this was affordable housing because of the FHA involvement. So it had, you know, you were limited on space. Some families did rent. There were some families that rented.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents rented for a while there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But mostly it was adults that resided there.
My parents were adults when they resided there.
Mm-hmm. Military people resided there. Elderly people. There were quite a few elderly people who liked to reside there because it was, you know, it was easy. You were right downtown. There was a cab office right there. I mean, you could get a cab to go anywhere you wanted to go. You could shop, do most of your shopping right there within the building. They had maid and laundry services available for a fee right there within the building. So and it's elevator access. So if you were a senior, that was
great.
What a lot of people were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, the downside to living there is you couldn't have a car.
What were some of the businesses they had in the building at that time?
Yeah, you could get quite a bit of what you wanted
In the building. Do you remember, does it say what was in there?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll look over the break. We're almost here on a break. But
okay. We'll go through some of them.
You showed me an article of they had the news miner that when my dad was out in 1952-53, shopping for the
furnishings.
The fixtures he's going to put in made the paper in Seattle.
Yes, it did.
So.
Yeah. So.
The Pruses have a way of making the paper.
Your dad did.
So does his kids.
Oh, you're in there. Yeah, you're in there a little bit. Here and there, maybe two or three generations.
I hate to say it's a family tradition, but maybe this is in the gene pool.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's just that you guys really like Fairbanks and you want to make it as good a place as it could be. It's a family tradition.
I think you're correct.
I think so. I think so.
It's funny. Every time we're going to do something, you pull my dad into it. It's just how you do that, man. You're a stalker of the Pruse family.
Well, he just appears, you know.
Yeah,
he's
funny.
Haunting you.
It's funny the trails you've dug up about my dad that I didn't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming back to haunt you.
I guess the best one was 1953. He came in third in a mayoral race. He never even brought that up in my life that he ran for mayor.
Well, he didn't want to tell you he was the loser.
No, but he was too. He went place he showed. He didn't win or place he showed.
Yeah, yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Going to leave you some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather. And I want to thank Melissa Burnett, also known as Rock Candy. She's given us some Journey Separate Ways. That's definitely her side of the equation.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
There was a rattling in the northeast today, a magnitude 4.8 earthquake, which was epicentered in Lebanon, New Jersey. The mayor of the town, James Pettiger, on the Fox News Channel with some reaction.
Individuals are rattled, but it doesn't seem, knock on wood, that we have any significant damage.
This was felt far beyond just New Jersey. Several states in the northeast could feel the earthquake, including in New York City as well. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul talked to the press about the quake, talked about what New Yorkers can do to remain safe.
We don't have reports of damaged buildings at this time. It is very early in the assessment process. But, you know, if there is an after effect, please stay away from buildings, especially our high rises.
This quake did briefly cause a ground stop at some major airports, including Newark Liberty and JFK. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden has been briefed. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports an inmate in Georgia has been indicted on multiple federal charges after allegedly mailing two destructive devices in 2020 to federal facilities in Alaska and New York. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of Georgia, 55-year-old David Cassaday is charged with making an unregistered destructive device, two counts of mailing a destructive device, and two counts of attempted malicious use of an explosive. The Attorney's Office says one of Cassaday's bombs was sent to the U.S. courthouse and federal building in Anchorage and the other to a federal facility in Washington, D.C. The indictment claims Cassaday was trying to maliciously damage or destroy by means of fire or explosive a building in whole or in part owned or possessed by or leased to the United States and created substantial risk of injury to a person. The FBI Anchorage office is one of the agencies investigating the case. According to the indictment, Cassaday was an inmate at the Georgia State Prison in Reidsville, Georgia when he allegedly mailed the bomb.
Online at KFAR660.com.
I'm Mary Peltola, Alaska's representative in Congress. It's important for all Alaskans to know our office is here to serve you. Whether it's veteran services, Social Security, or Medicare benefits, we are hard at work solving problems and delivering for Alaska. I overcame stiff opposition to get federal approval for the Willow Project, and we're already seeing the economic shot in the arm Alaska needs. With the help of Alaskans who made their voices heard, we were able to halt the Kroger-Albertsons merger that would close grocery stores and drive up prices. Please know, my office is here to serve you, your family, and community. Call 907-921-6575 or visit peltola.house.gov to let us know how we can help. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
We need cars.
That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
It would be great to have $10,000. But better than that, having $10,000 and helping the Yukon Quest. Yukon Quest raffle tickets are now available for purchase. Tickets are only $100 with a chance to win $10,000 cash and other prizes. The cost of the ticket includes delicious appetizers and a marvelous time at the North Pole Ale House. Tickets can be purchased at Ivory Jack's in the Elks Lodge or at the Yukon Quest office in person or over the phone. There are only 250 tickets available, so get yours today.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me, and we're talking about the Polaris Building, and now we're going to talk about businesses in the Polaris Building when it opened in 1952 and 1953. Different businesses started, you know, as they leased it out, built it out. And, boy, you know, I'm looking at the different papers you got here, and I would say in November 1952 is, boy,
You're reading the ads.
Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving. You know, announcing the opening of cash and carry cleaners in the Polaris building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Entrance by on Lacey Street, and that was in November of 1952, and November 29th, and then in November 25th, the Polaris office opens, rental office in the new Polaris building is open for applicants. The office previously located on Wendell Avenue has now moved to a permanent quarters with Mrs. Marion Drake still in charge. And then on December 9th, announcing the opening of Gold North Jewelry in the Polaris Hill building. So it was always called the Polaris building from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was called the Hill building while it was being built. But once it opened, it was known as the Polaris building.
Okay.
And I'm not sure exactly why the name changed, but it did.
Yeah. So here's one. Grand opening, North Star Liquor Store. Fairbanks Daily News Miners, December 12th, 1952. And a case of Schlitz beer was $5.50.
You can't even buy Schlitz anymore.
No, you can't. And,
yeah.
123 Lacey Street in the new Polaris building.
Oh. Yeah.
And then Merry Christmas, everyone, from Gold North Jewelry, corner of First and Lacey in the Polaris building. Ooh. Collins and Clasby announces the opening of new law offices.
Mm-hmm.
And 1600 Polaris building or something like that.
Yes.
So they
had
upstairs.
Wide variety.
Yeah.
Where the annex was built, they had, that was the parking lot for the building, and they had the Electro Park, which was a service that, you know, they had security for your parking for your car.
Yeah, and this is what I like about Fairbanks back then. You know, their missives in the paper. On January 7th, 1953, Hull's visit here, Mr. and Mrs. John Hull from Seattle, recently returned to Fairbanks for a few days of business. Hull was a superintendent in charge of the Polaris building here. And then business trip, S.S. Mullen, contractor for the Polaris building from Seattle, is here in Fairbanks for a few days of business.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that after he built that building, you know, he had other contracts to build other buildings. The Yusuf Belli Coal Mines office. Business office was in the Polaris building.
Yeah. Optician opens new office in the Polaris building. This is in January 1953. So you can see, you know, from basically mid-January, everyone starts moving in.
Yes. And, you had the Golden North Jewelry Works.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your favorite one that's in there? Do you have a favorite?
You're such a jerk at times, egging me on. Well, let's see. We're gonna go through it this way.
You're like putty.
I know. On June 26, 1953, Donald Pruse returns. Donald Pruse, proprietor of the Village Bar and Grill, has returned from an eight-day business trip from the outside. He spent 3 days in Los Angeles, 4 days in Seattle, purchasing equipment for the new cocktail lounge he is constructing in the Polaris building. Pruse returned with Pan American Airways. Yeah, I mean, so they're saying where he was, how he got here. You know, that's just what they did back then.
Mm-hmm.
And also on July 20th, there was a washateria in the Polaris building and a delicatessen.
Yeah.
So this seeing what was in there, yeah. Delicatessen opens doors and operated by Jack and Eva Hill.
Mm-hmm. That delicatessen was open for quite a while. It was pretty popular. They did a lot of advertising.
Yeah. And then a bunch of, I can't even read that name there. Okay. Then, new cocktail opens in the Polaris. New cocktail lounge opens in the Polaris. The carpenters were scuttling out the side door as the first customers came in the front door of the new cocktail lounge in the Polaris building last night. Unofficial opening was set for 6 p.m. and the place was crowded by 6:30. The lounge was designed by Tom McNerney of Dorman Hotel and Restaurant Supply Company. It has attractive brickwork, soundproof ceiling, carpeting, brown drapes, and greenery with lighted globe automatically rotates in the wall half set. In addition to the bar and tables, there is a piano bar in which Gordon Clark presides as a one-man band. Clark came up from the Los Angeles for 2 weeks engagement here. This is his first trip to Alaska. His background includes study for grand opera, music, screen credits, and concert work. The grand opening and official name of the new lounge is set for next Friday, according to Donald Prue's owner.
And what was the date of that?
That was in the Newsminer, September 12th, 1953. Mm-hmm. Then September 18th, 1953, they have an advertisement, you know, fairly large one in the paper. You're cordially invited to the formal grand opening of new Polaris Cocktail Lounge from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the Polaris building, and it gives orders served, music by Lauren Long and Gordon Clark and things like that, so...
So I have a couple here by December. Jack Hill of the Polaris building reported to police the loss of a tornado early this morning.
Oh, boy.
Before the officers could get started searching the streets for a big wind, Hill quickly explained that tornado is the manufacturer's name for a floor buffer, which someone took from the Polaris building shortly after midnight last night. Hill's missing floor buffer was valued at about $250, and it's December, and so this is the ad for your dad's cocktail lounge. Oh, you ought to see him.
Oh,
he's
Dad,
just
are
dying.
You, man, if you had met Mom by then, oh, my God. And the ad starts, sex at the piano bar. Oh my God.
Big letters.
S-E-X, yeah. Musical renditions of Candy Stacy Nightly. The beautiful oh my God. I think you plagiarized this.
No, that's an actual ad.
Oh, man.
Yes, but I withheld it until the right moment. You know?
Oh, boy, you did. You're a stalker of my father. Sex at the piano bar. Oh, my God.
He knew what sold. He's no dummy. So there was a travel agency. Here's another ad for Tiny Watson at the beautiful Polaris Lounge. She played old songs, new songs, happy songs, sad songs. She was a singer. Mm-hmm. And when we did the nightclub show, you remember that these people were like on circuits, and they traveled all around the western half of the United States. And Fairbanks was on part of that circuit. So these entertainers would be here for roughly 2 weeks. They would be booked at a venue here in town, and you didn't stay home and watch TV. We didn't have TV. You went out and you saw live entertainment at the different
venues
around town, restaurants, bars, or generally both.
Yeah, saloons.
Yes, and you saw these entertainers perform, and some of them were very famous, and the Polaris was no exception to that. There was the House of Flowers and the Sewing Machine, Singer Sewing Center. It sold sewing machines and did sewing machine repair.
You know what I want you to do, if you ever get a chance? Look up a bar called The Keyboard.
Okay.
The Keyboard. Yeah.
So with the Polaris, they had the rent control, and they had these 144 apartments, and they weren't filling the apartments. There was a shortage of housing, but that wasn't the kind of housing that they really needed in town. Yeah. They needed housing for transients, and transient housing is more lucrative.
Higher rate, shorter period.
Yes.
Weekly, monthly.
So they opened in 1953. The building opened in 1953. By 1955, the Hills were being sued because they were doing tourist bookings through West Tours out of Seattle. Well, these other hotel owners that had built modern hotels to meet this post-war boom, they had gotten those commercial loans at a higher rate. And here Rudy Hill went and got, he went cheap and he got the residential one, and he's cutting into their business. And they didn't like it, so they ratted him out to the FHA. So he's called in by the feds. He's being sued over this having transients in the building. You couldn't do it. I don't like the word transient. It makes it sound like homeless people, but, you know.
Short-term rentals.
Short-term, yes. More like hotel, motel.
Exactly.
So, you know.
So he's being sued by the Westmark, the West Tours, yeah.
Yes. Well, no, he was cutting a deal with the West Tours out of Seattle. So these people were getting bypassed, the other hoteliers in town.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Are you someone with a knack for problem solving? Do you have experience fixing leaks, patching, and painting walls? And overall general knowledge of building maintenance? Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge is looking for someone with the ability to help our maintenance manager lead a seasonal team of employees during the summer and help organize and execute the year-round maintenance of our hotel and its grounds. The assistant maintenance manager position is a year-round benefited position with a starting wage of $25 an hour. Come join our Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge team today and apply at alaskatourjobs.com.
You may have a very busy day planned today. I, on the other hand, have but one task, and I do it every day of the year. As your septic tank and your friend, please remember that while you're out doing your work, that I, your friend, your septic tank, am doing mine. Buried in your yard. Please have Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pump me out once a year. It keeps me regular. I promise to last much longer and serve you much better.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
Customized by Auto
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters, no matter what it is. Small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more. You'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR weather.
Overcast this afternoon with a slight chance of snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 39. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 20. A dusting of snow today. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the last quarter hour of our show here with Joni Skillbred, reminiscing about the Polaris Building. If you got nothing to do this afternoon at 3 o'clock, come on down. We're having a little ceremony. Joni is going to give us a 8-minute rendition of the history of the Polaris Building.
Yes. Yes, I'm pretty excited about that.
Fairbanks, I'm bringing in the shock troops. She shocked me with the sex ad.
Hey, your dad did that.
Oh, yeah, I think it's plagiarized.
So the Polaris Building made history when we achieved statehood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And my dad told me some of the stories from
a huge celebration. I mean, everyone in Fairbanks was just giddy over it, and they were going to they tried to dye the Chena River yellow to make it gold. Mm-hmm. Kind of backfired, and it turned out it was green. But that's okay, because that's the color of money. But as part of the celebration, they had this huge gold star that was floating above the Polaris building.
Oh, okay.
And you know, it was a big deal. It was making front page news that we had this gold star.
My dad told me that they housed the delegates in the Polaris building.
There's the picture of it.
Oh, wow, that's a big star.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see, they were housing transients once again. So, yes. So it made the paper, and it also made history that day for us. One of the big drawbacks to living there was that you couldn't have a car, and we are not New York City.
No.
And as Fairbanks grew, you needed a car more and more and more. And so as far as residential apartments, that was a drawback for some people because you didn't have anywhere to park. I mean, Fairbanks was booming, and parking has always been a problem until the last few years. Now we have an abundance of parking. But do you remember the pipeline, the wars over parking downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We had to do a show about that.
Yeah, true.
Yes. So the one thing that everybody in town remembers about the Polaris was the top floor.
Yes.
And originally, what was it?
We got a couple of phone calls lined up. What was
it? Okay. It was the top of the pole.
Okay. Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Oh, lost that one. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi there. I haven't been tuned into most of the show here, but I was wondering, you mentioned a lot of different shops and stores, and I was wondering how many floors were used for shops and floors, and I assume the remaining was for residences and such, but how many was that, and how did was there like two elevators and one staircase, or what?
Well, to answer your question about the commercial space, it was the first three floors.
Yeah.
And the basement were dedicated for commercial space, and then everything above that was
apartments. We're going to take another phone call here.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Mark, what a delightful conversation about the Hill Polaris building. I'd just like to thank you for discussing it, but I think that we should do what Jerry Cleworth did with the main building, Mayor. I don't think it should be tore down. And I say that,
Mark, you're a little bit late for that.
Well, and I offered you guys some property for it.
And economically, there was 20 years for people to try and make it economically work, and it just never could work.
Should be a educational facility, a school.
We learn from that facility, believe me.
Christian school. Amen. Okay, well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Mark. You have a good afternoon. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Charles.
Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
Hi, Charles.
I guess I got a speaker. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, Ted Stevens' federal prosecutor office was on one of the top floors, I think, or something. I read that book, Fighting for the 49th Star by Terrence Cole.
Okay.
A lot of references to that in there, but I got a question about James Wickersham and his niece who had a sourdough cafe in Juneau, and she had a sourdough recipe book, and there's some poetry in there from James Wickersham. I was wondering if anybody recognized that. Ruth Almond sourdough cookbook from a cafe in Juneau, outside of Juneau.
No, I haven't read it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Charles.
So it started out, the top floor of the building started out as the top of the pole is what it was called. And the fabulous thing and the thing that everybody loved about the Polaris building was that top floor because the views were amazing. And then they leased it to the Petroleum Club. And they set up this swanky penthouse club, you know, where you could have food, parties, all of that. And they would rent out for special occasions or user groups. Most every club in town quit meeting in their old places and was going up there to meet because it was so nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, they knew that the oil boom was coming and they wanted to have something, you know, to kind of celebrate that. The lease for the Petroleum Club was a 3-year lease. And when the lease was up, they couldn't. They financially, they couldn't make it work. So they had to let the lease go. And it sat empty for a fair amount of time. And in the meantime, the Hills had gotten out of it. They had, it had gone to Wally Burnett and two of his partners.
Alex Miller?
Yes.
And they're all family, actually.
Yes.
And I forget the third one.
And they bought the building right before the pipeline.
Yeah.
And they actually made money. I mean, they made good money because mm-hmm. of the pipeline.
It's called they made bank.
Yes, but they couldn't get anybody to take the upstairs.
Top floor.
The top floor. So Wally ended up moving the Tiki Cove, which was in the basement of the Mecca.
I know. Can you believe that? It was in the basement of the Mecca. It's so popular. The Mecca at that time was a business and it's a bar. So yeah. Then you go down to the restaurant.
Yes.
In the Tiki Cove.
Yes, and so it went to the top of the Polaris building. But I think Fairbanks was pretty happy about that move because it was a favorite
place. That's where Benny Lynn, you know, he was the top chef up there for a number of years before he
went out to North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter went to school with his daughter.
Ah.
Yeah, they were friends. But, okay. So it was, you know, that's what people seem to remember the most about it was going to the Tiki Cove, and they loved it. It was like the most popular place in Fairbanks. They loved the views. They loved the food. They loved the decor, all of that. They also did like the Black Angus, but the Tiki Cove is just got, you know, if you ask somebody about the Polaris building, they always say the Tiki Cove.
Yep.
Universally.
That was a generation, though, from the mid-70s through the mid-80s,
right.
You know, that 10-year period there where it was open. And so, everyone remembers that.
So during the pipeline, the Burnetts made a lot of money off of the building because the entire first floor was leased out to Alyeska, and they had the option to lease the next two floors as well. So they kind of dominated the building.
You know who else was in there? Caroon, Blackstock, and this insurance firm.
Mm-hmm.
And they provided all the insurance on all the Alyeska pipeline trucks and Bechtel and everything like that. And through the generations, that's now David Hale, Hale and Associates.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes here. How do you want to end this besides with that wicked smile and those evil eyes that you're looking at me with?
Well, I think that the Polaris building has really, you know, made its mark in our city. And our city's history, but it's time for us to move forward to something, the next chapter.
True. You know, it's been there for 72 years now.
Yes, it was suggested to make it into a training center. It was also suggested in a letter to the editor to turn it into a growing factory. I think it's better that maybe we tear it down and do something different.
I concur.
Yes. Yes.
We'll see what happens there. Joni, thank you very much. And
you're welcome.
I'll see you at 3:00 Fairbanks. If you're not doing anything, you want to come out to the corner of 1st, 2nd, and Lacey Street. We're going to be having a ceremony there, and we're going to allow people in the building. And I got some spray paint for people to spray paint a few things. If you want to mark the inside of the building, tag it. You got it. And I'll see you on Monday, no matter what. You have a great day. Thank you, Joni.
You're welcome.